It's my Bible. It is the Word of God, and it is the will of God for my life. I am who the Word says I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm where the Word says I am, seated right now in Christ Jesus, in the heavenly realms, in the place of authority, dominion, and power. I have what the Word says I have. All the blessings of Abraham are mine, and I can do what the Word says I can do. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Today my mind is alert, my spirit is receptive, as I'm taught the Word of God. My life has changed for the better, and I will never be the same again. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm kind of pressed on time, so I have no time to review this week, but I do want to say this. Point number one in 7 steps to answered prayer: know what you want from God and find the scriptures that definitely promise you those things. And in that point number one, we had 3 parts: find the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, and then use the scriptures to defend yourself against demon spirits that would try and talk you into anything contrary to the Word of God. So it is find, meditate, defend. Number two, ask God for the things you want and believe you receive them. And that thing of believe you receive them, that's huge. Number three, let every thought and every desire affirm that you have got what you have asked for. And some key verses that we're using this week, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And then Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now, those verses and then another one we're going to come to in a moment are so critical because of the absolute certainty built into the words of Jesus. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Then he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them, and you shall have them, and you shall have them. And so we're going to get into the mind a lot tonight, and we're going to see that one of the ways Satan tries to block us from receiving from God the answers to prayer that we desire to receive from God is discouragement. And he is a master of discouragement. Now, regarding these promises, these prayer requests that we have gone to God with, and these 3 points, they may not have come into manifestation yet, but we know that we have them. How do we know that we have them? Another 2 verses that I ask you to meditate on, getting ready for this week, 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence. Shout confidence. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. Shout out loud, we know that we have. Shout out loud again, we know that we have. We know that we have what we have asked of him. So they may not have come into manifestation yet, but we know that we have them. Hallelujah. And we're praising God for it. So then never permit, we left off here last night, never permit a mental picture of a failure to be in your mind. Never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer. Our mindset needs to be that if I'm following the instructions of Jesus in Mark 11:22-24, like the story we ended with last night, Pastor Obi Braun, and if I'm following the instructions of Jesus from Mark 11:22-24, the manifestation is inevitable. Say it out loud. The manifestation is inevitable. And Satan knows this, and that's why he works to stop you from confessing what you want and believing you receive. That's the game. And that's why we titled the Power Lunch Mind Games. It's not a game. I mean, it is some serious business, but it is a game. because we cannot just be defeated in the mouth, we can be defeated in the mind. It's not just the mouth, it's the mind. It's not just the mind, it's the mouth. And I think in my life, I paid more attention to the mouth. And in recent days, I've been paying more attention to the mind. Well, because according to 1 John 5:14, 15 and Mark 11, 24, you know you have the answer. There's no doubt, no uncertainty in the language of Jesus. According to 1 John 5:14, 15 and Mark 11, 24, you know you have the answer. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And that's why you have to start with point number one. That's why you can't skip point number one. Everybody wants to skip point number one because that's homework. You know, I got to find, you mean I've got to turn off the TV and I got to find scriptures to cover my situation? Well, it's easier than ever with all these electronic tools. You know, you could just, you know, go to DuckDuckGo and type in scriptures on healing, and there, you'll have a list, and then you can sort through them and find your favorites. Amen? And at least DuckDuckGo doesn't track your search history. Amen. So I'm not advocating them. I'm just saying, and I'm not searching anything that, you know, might be embarrassing, but I just don't like being tracked. I figure the Holy Ghost is tracking me and that's enough. Amen. So never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer, because this is the confidence. Shout it out loud. This is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer, because we've gone to the Word of God. We've found two or three scriptures that cover our situation. So we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have. If we know that He hears us, we know that we have. Say that out loud. If we know that He hears us, we know that we have. So never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer. Here we go. Tell your neighbor, here we go. If doubts persist, and they will, because we have an adversary. If doubts persist, rebuke them, resist them, and say, doubt, call it by name. Doubt, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and get your mind back on the answer. And constantly affirm that the promises of God are true and that God has answered your prayer. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer. If doubts persist, and they will, rebuke them, resist them, call it by name, say, doubt, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus, and get your mind back on the answer. And constantly affirm that the promises of God are true and that God has answered your prayer. You see, what people do is they walk off from their harvest. It's like a farmer that he does the work in the spring and he plows the ground and he sows the seed and he's out there looking at his fields in, you know, April, and he's out there looking at his fields in May and June and July. And then he gets discouraged and he walks off and he leaves his farm. Well, the harvest is coming in the fall. Can you see that? People do it all the time. They walk off from their harvest. They walk off from their field. Now, here's something you need to know and write it down. Faith will work in your heart when there's doubt in your head. Faith will work in your heart when there's doubt in your head. Now, a lot of people think because there's doubt in their head that they are doubters. As long as we live in this earth, in these bodies, we are going to have challenges with the mind and with feelings. And the Lord knows this. But doubt will work. Faith will work in your heart when there's doubt in your head. You see, thoughts come into your mind from outside influences. Kenneth Hagin, the one that went to be with the Lord in 2003, used to say, you cannot stop a bird from flying overhead, but you can stop a bird from building a nest in your hair. So thoughts will come and feelings will come. There's nothing much we can do about that, but we can decide that we're not going to meditate on that negative thought. We're not going to entertain. I like that word, entertain. In fact, that's the way I was doing back in January and February. I was just saying out loud, I'm not going to entertain that. I'm not going to entertain that. I'm not going to entertain that. Amen. And take a hold of yourself and take a hold of your thought life. You see, thoughts come into your mind from outside influences. Thought will also come up from the inside. You know what mom or dad said, you know, maybe what your ex said, maybe what your third grade teacher said, who knows? But thoughts will come from outside, contrary to the Word of God, but then thoughts will also come up from inside, maybe from the memory banks in the mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. So when thoughts come from outside influences, they may be from Satan. Satan can put thoughts into your mind. And you can get thoughts in your mind through your five senses. And one of the things that we are very tempted to do if we're praying about something is to keep checking, you know? And we're gauging the results of our faith, and we're actually, if we're not careful, we're gauging the veracity of the Word of God by what we can feel. You know, when Kenneth Hagin would tell the story of being raised up off a deathbed at the age of, I think it was 17, after he was healed, he was challenged on his healing, and he was in the habit of reaching up there and feeling his heartbeat, and he had to determine to stop it because he saw from the Word of God that he was not healed by what he could feel pounding in his chest. He was healed by the work of Jesus 2,000 years ago on that whipping post and on Calvary's cross. Now, I'm not saying the manifestation won't come. I'm just saying that we can get fixated on what we can see, taste, touch, hear, and smell, and Satan then uses that against us. And then he will go to calling God's character into question. Did God really say? Can you see that? And it's a battle. I'm not saying it's not a battle. Amen. I'm not saying it's not a battle. I'm saying you can win the battle. Amen. Amen. You can win the battle. And so you can look and see or touch and feel, and it doesn't look like your prayer is answered. Our faith is not based on what we can see or taste or touch or feel or see. That is sense faith, sensory faith. Our faith is based on the surety of the Word of God. It is because that is what God has said it is, and that is what I have chosen to believe. So I'm not moved by what I see, and I'm not moved by what I feel. I believe God. Amen. Can you see that?
Yes.
And then just stay with it. So you can look and see or touch and feel, and it doesn't seem like your prayer is answered. It doesn't seem like anything is going to happen. And your mind will begin to doubt, and Satan will help your mind doubt. And Satan will see to it that the thought comes. Well, I guess he didn't hear me. I thought he heard me, but I guess he didn't. Or I guess he doesn't care. Or I guess he doesn't love me. Or I guess he must be holding some grudge against me. I've heard them all. Because at my age, you know, I've been down this road so many times. I've heard them all. Amen. I've heard them all. Amen. Amen. You know, it's like he's got a flip chart. God doesn't love you. God's mad at you. God is not hearing you. God doesn't care about you. He's got a flip chart. And so you just have to make up your mind. You got to steel your mind. Amen. That I'm gonna go with what God's word says. Amen. And that's why we can't walk by feelings. Thank God for feelings. You know, sometimes I was standing over there just a few minutes ago, and the anointing of God washed over me, and I thought, that's great. You know, thank you. I appreciate it. But I'm not walking by that. I've got to walk by the Word of God, and you do too.
Amen.
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 I said I've got to walk by the Word of God, and you do too. And before you know it, you'll get back into doubt and be robbed by the devil. That's what it's about. That's the game. That's the mind game, to get you into doubt, to get you mad at God. Anybody here ever been mad at God? I got my hand up. We're going to have an altar call for liars now. I said, anybody ever been mad at God? I got my hand up. Well, that's Satan. Can't you see that? That's Satan. Can't you see that? That's Satan. This is what he does. And he has had 6,000 years experience pushing people's buttons. So he knows how it works. And so we need to know that faith will work in your heart even when there's doubt in your head. So get your mind on the answer. Entertain no thought that contradicts the Word of God. Entertain no thought that contradicts the Word of God. Don't hang out with people that contradict the Word of God. Don't watch stuff that contradicts the Word of God. Entertain no thought, pardon me, that contradicts the Word of God. And then praise God for the answer continually. Because something about praise, something about thanking God runs doubt out. Thank you, Father God. Your word is true. See, affirm continually the veracity of the Word of God. Affirm continually that God told you the truth in His Word, and then thank Him for it and count it done. Amen. Amen. I love Romans 4. Count it done. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, count it done. Tell the neighbor on the other side, count it done. So what you do instead of entertaining thoughts of doubt is you turn that around and you put the devil on the run with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the only way to run them off. So when these thoughts come of frustration or anger or doubt or unbelief, you run the devil off, and you run the devil off with the Word of God. That's what they were mocking me, my own staff. We mentioned, I think, Sunday. You know, the Word says. Well, that's where we were. I mean, we weren't making it. And we were believing Philippians 4:19, the Lord our God is meeting all of our needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And that was my sword of the Spirit that I was using in those days. And so when anything would come at me that was contrary to the Word of God, like more bills, new bills. You know, you've heard me tell the story. I hate bills. You put two in a drawer, you open the drawer back up, and there's 15. They're like rabbits. They just multiply. I hate bills. Amen. I have to get them paid and out the door. I don't want any bills around me. So when contrary evidence would come up, I'd say, well, the Word says. And that's what they were making fun of me of. But, you know, here I am all these years later, and I ain't got no bills. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I might be having all kinds of trouble with my mind, but I know I believe in my heart. So I just stand steady on the inside and refuse to doubt. Tell your neighbor, refuse to doubt. Tell the neighbor on the other side, you got to refuse to doubt. And I keep saying, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe, and what I believe is the Word of God. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe, and I believe the Word of God. Why don't we say that out loud together? I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I know. And what I know is the Word of God. And I believe it's true. It just looks like it's not going to happen. It just looks like it can't happen. It just looks like it's impossible to happen. But I just stand my ground and refuse to doubt and keep saying, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. And I believe it shall be done unto me as was told me in His book. And then I add this to it, it shall be done unto me according to the Word of God, and it shall be done unto me as I have said. Amen. Hallelujah. I get that out of Numbers 14. Amen. He said, I'm going to do to you the very things I heard you say. Well, that's just great, because I'm being made rich in every way, and I'm healed from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, and I'm blessed when I come in, and I'm blessed when I go out. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer. If doubts persist, rebuke them, resist them, and say, doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus, and get your mind on the answer, and constantly affirm that the promises of God are true and that God has answered your prayer. Eradicate. Shout eradicate. Eradicate every suggestion, image, vision, dream, impression, and feeling contrary to what you're believing God for. Eradicate all thoughts that do not contribute to your faith that you have what you have asked for. Now, I don't have the date. I thought today to look that up. It was the Wednesday night before spring break. We dealt with one night in the Wednesday night series on faith and prayer. We dealt with Matthew 17, 20. Then we went to verse 21. We talked about how that they could not cast the devil out of that boy because of their unbelief. And the cure Jesus gave for the disciples' unbelief was fasting. Now, we're not talking about fasting a bunch of days, but one day, 2 days, 3 days. And we're going to get to this here later this evening. But it is a tool that God gave us to break unbelief. Unbelief is the accumulation of all the information that we have allowed into our ear gates and our eye gates that is contrary to the written word of God. And we have got to eradicate. Say eradicate.
Eradicate.
See, that's why I'm using this language. We have got to eradicate every suggestion, image, vision, dream, impression, and feeling contrary to the word of God and contrary to what you're believing God for. If you have taken step number one, you know that what you're asking for is according to the will of God because it is according to his word. 1 John 5:15, and we know that if we hear it, and we know that he hears us whatever we ask, and if we know that he hears us whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. And if we know that he hears us because we've asked according to his will, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. They may not have come into manifestation yet, but we know that we have them. Listen, they may not have come into manifestation yet, but we know that we have them. Amen. It's on the way. That's why we get these sayings. The money's coming. Amen. The money's coming. Amen. Healing is coming. Say it out loud. Money's coming.
Money's coming.
Say it out loud. Healing's coming.
Healing's coming.
Amen. The curse is going. Money is coming. The curse is going, and healing is coming.
Amen.
Amen. We're calling for what we want. How many of you have a dog? Let me see your hand if you have a dog. This won't work with cats. So you have a dog, and it gets loose, and it's out there somewhere. You open the front door. What do? You call it. How do you call it? You say, hey, dog, is that what you do? How do you call it? You call it by name. That won't work with a cat. You do that. You call it by name. That's what you have to do. Money's coming. See, I'm calling it by name. Healing's coming.
Amen.
Amen. And the curse is going. And name the curse.
Amen.
If you're not sure if it's a curse, go to Deuteronomy 28 and see if it's a curse. We put up with stuff. And I say that in these last days, it is a mistake to put up with any curse of the law, because if we put up with any curse of the law, Satan will come along with a second one and a third one and a fourth one and a fifth one.
Yeah.
Did you know rashes are listed as a curse of the law? What are we doing? We should not be putting cream on them. We should be cursing them and casting them out in the name of Jesus, because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us.
Yes.
The Bible doesn't say put a cream on the curse. Cast it out. Drive it out. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer, because this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if it's according to his word, it's according to his will. Now, too many people pray first without even knowing what the word of God says, so they're praying in the dark. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. So when I have found those words, those promises that cover my case, and they've entered my heart, well, now I'm walking in the light. I'm praying in the light. Don't pray in the darkness. Take the word of God with you when you go to the place of prayer. But if I don't know what the word of God says about my situation, then I can't pray in faith because I don't know whether I'm praying according to the will of God or not. And thank God for His mercy that He helps us. But we can pray according to the Word of God. John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Say it out loud. It shall be done.
It shall be done.
Say it again. It shall be done.
It shall be done.
Shout it out loud. It shall be done.
It shall be done.
See, this changes everything. I'm not going to prayer begging, pleading, cajoling. I'm going to prayer knowing what the Word of God says about my situation, and I go to prayer in confidence knowing it shall be done. Then I go praising and thanking and go with joy because I know the answer's on the way.
Amen?
Amen? So if you want to get light on what you're praying about, then get into the Word and the Word will enlighten you. And then you'll be able to pray in the light and not in the dark. And that's the trouble. A lot of times people, even God's people, they're trying to pray in the dark. And so they don't know what belongs to them. Man, you got to get into the Word of God to find out what belongs to you. They don't know what the will of God is for their lives. They may be praying, but they're praying in the dark. They have no knowledge of what God says about their situation, and they don't even know what belongs to them. They don't even know what their rights are in Christ. But glory to God, this is the confidence that we have in Him. So never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer. Now, if doubts persist, and they will, the devil will see to it that doubts do persist, then you have to rebuke the doubt. Call it by name and rebuke the doubt. There's more than one scripture that talks about rebuking and resisting the devil. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place, don't give any territory. The word is topos, where we get our word topography. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him an inch. If you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. Don't give the devil a place. The Apostle James wrote in James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Say it out loud, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, all these verses were written to Christians because they simply cannot apply to sinners. You see, do I mean that Satan is not trying to devour the sinners? Well, no, he already has them. They're already on his team. They're already in his camp. No, and we have three apostles dealing with the devil. Paul, James, and Peter, they were writing to Christians. The devil is not an adversary to sinners. And sinners are not adversaries to Satan. They're all pulling together on the same team. But your adversary, your enemy, your opponent, the one who is arrayed against you, that's the meaning of the word adversary. Someone who is arrayed against you walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You just have to make up your mind you're not going to be devoured. Amen. Amen. Now, what are you going to do about it? Stick your head in the sand like an ostrich and make believe that he'll go away? No, the Bible tells you exactly what to do. 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So don't give in to him. Don't side in with him. Because Peter says, whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. Resist whom? Resist how? How are you going to resist him? Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. That means you're going to have to stand fast. You're going to have to hold on. You're going to have to stand your ground. That means you can't give in. And the way we give in is in the mind. The way we give in is in the thought life. Listen, I've been down all of these roads all of these years. He comes at you with thoughts of failure, that your prayer is not going to be answered. And once you start down this road mentally, on that particular occasion, you are completely and utterly defeated. When you start thinking about how you need to rewrite your will, when you start thinking about how that you don't yet have a burial plot, when you start thinking about what kind of casket you want to have, when you start thinking, this is what Satan does, man. He, what if, what if, what if? And man, you just have to put steel in your backbone and you just have to stand and you got to resist him and you got to run him out. Because once you start down this mental road of what if, he's got you. Now, on that day, tomorrow's another day. Get up, ask forgiveness, start all over again. I'm saying, though, that this is the battle in the mind. And the battle is not just in the mouth, the battle is in the mind. And too many times, we're rehearsing the Word of God. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed when I go out. We come to Faith Christian Center. We talk all this positive stuff, and we sing these songs, and we think we're walking in faith. But what is going on in our minds when no one is listening? When nobody knows what's going on in our thought life except maybe the Lord himself? What are we thinking about? Man, you ought to be thinking about getting out of the wheelchair. You ought to be thinking about throwing the hearing aid away. You ought to be thinking about what it would be like to not wear glasses anymore. You ought to be thinking about going on vacation where you want to go. You ought to be thinking about buying the house you want to buy. You ought to be thinking about paying the house off that you're in right now. Amen. What are we thinking about? Listen, we need to think, we need to take hold of ourselves. Because nobody's going to do it for you. Amen. Amen. I said nobody can do it for you. Amen. Whom resist steadfast. That means all the time, 24/7, 365. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That means you're going to have to stand fast. That means you're going to have to hold your ground. It's like a military operation. I'm not going to give him any territory. I'm not yielding an inch. I've drawn my line in the sand, and here I stand. I stand on the Word of God. I'm not going to knuckle under. I'm not going to yield. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bend. That means you may have to put forth some effort. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? The Berean Standard Bible says, resist him standing firm in your faith. You have to resist the devil standing firm in your faith. Now you see, he's talking about the devil. 1 Peter 5:9, mark this in your Bible and don't let it get away from you. Back to verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So be sober, be vigilant. Or we'd say, you know, stay on your toes. Why? Why? Why be sober? Why be vigilant? Because your adversary, who is your adversary? Satan, the devil. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, he may devour somebody, but he ain't devouring me. You just got to make up your mind. Hallelujah. He may be devouring somebody, but he's not going to devour me. And then verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The Berean Bible says, resist him standing firm in your faith. A lot of people are waiting for some devil with a pitchfork or horns and a tail to come along before they start resisting. That's not how the devil comes. The devil comes through your friends. The devil comes through your relatives. The devil comes through your co-workers. And anybody saying anything to you contrary to the written word of God is speaking by a demon. Well, you know, that they're a Christian. I don't care if it's the Pope himself. I could care less. If they have words coming out of their mouth contrary to the written word of God, they are not your friend, they are your adversary, and they are speaking by a demon. Amen. Now, I'm not saying do something to them. I'm just saying, you know, don't hang with the devil. Amen. Why? Why? Because you have something you need from God. You got something you want from the Lord. That's got to be your priority, not making somebody happy. Amen. And when doubt comes, you resist doubt. That's resisting the devil. When you resist doubt, you are resisting the devil, because the devil is the author of doubt. Can't you see that? Anything that is of the devil, when you resist it, you are resisting the devil. Say it out loud. Doubt, I resist you in Jesus' name. Say, unbelief, I resist you in Jesus' name. And James said, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He'll run. Doubt, I resist you in Jesus' name. Unbelief, I resist you in Jesus' name. And it'll leave. Fear, I resist you in Jesus' name. But too many times people are in doubt and unbelief. They just do, if we would just do what the Bible says do, we'd get amazing results. Tell your neighbor, if you just do what the Bible says do, you'd get amazing results. Amen. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So submit yourself to God. How do we submit ourselves to God? To submit yourself to God is to submit yourself to the Word of God. Ouch. How do you submit to God? I mean, he's not here in where we can see him. I mean, he's here right now by his Spirit. But how can I submit to God? By what mechanism can I submit to God? I can only submit to God by submitting to his Word. And this is what people do not do. You can't submit yourself to God without submitting yourself to the Word of God. We have got an entire generation of Christians. Don't you understand this? We have got an entire generation of Christians who say they love God and they hate the Bible. You cannot love God and hate the Bible. And we've all seen cartoons of the devil with a pitchfork, horns, and a tail. Too many people are waiting for something like that to come along before they start resisting the devil. Friends, every thought that is contrary to the Word of God is of the devil. Amen. Amen. I learned a long time ago, when doubt comes, to speak to doubt. Say, doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I refuse to doubt. Say it out loud. Doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I refuse to doubt. You know, when I was getting ready for this week and when I was getting ready for Mind Games, man, I was doing this. I just decided. I'd worked on my mouth, but I decided, man, I got to work on my thought life. And I mean, the only way I could get a handle on it was to say out loud, doubt, I resist you in Jesus' name. Doubt, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Fear, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Fear, I resist you in Jesus' name. It's the only thing that worked for me. Say it out loud, call it by name, and run it off. Amen. And we have the Word of God on it that he will flee from us. You may as well say amen. It's so anyway, amen. Now go to Galatians 5 and notice what Paul said in writing to the churches of Galatia. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh, tell your neighbor, we're shifting gears. Tell the neighbor on the other side, this is huge. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why they hate the Bible. Because they're doing all of that. Right. Amen. I read that list, doesn't bother me in the least. Amen. Amen. But notice, Paul was writing about the works of the flesh. He was not writing about the devil. That's right. Amen. Amen. So the enemy of your thought life is not just the devil. He's not writing about the works of the devil. Now, don't you misunderstand me. The devil will help you sin, all right. But these are not the works of the devil. These are the works of the flesh. No, the works of the flesh are evident, or as the King James says, manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, which is homosexuality and lesbianism, lewdness. The King James says debauchery. Synonyms are lasciviousness, debauchery, lust, lustfulness. All four of these first four have to do with sexual sins. Then he goes on to say, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you deal with the flesh differently than you deal with the devil. I mean, I can't say, flesh, I resist you. I can't command the flesh to go somewhere. I'm carrying it around. It's not me, but it's attached to me. So I have to handle the flesh different than I handle the devil. You can put the devil on the run by rebuking and resisting him, and he will flee. Amen? But when it comes to the flesh, you can't rebuke and resist the flesh, because we're not talking about a spiritual issue at this point in time. We're talking about you not keeping you under control. When it comes to the flesh, you have to do what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep my body under. See, man is a spirit, and he has a soul, and he lives in a body. What is the soul? The mind, the will, the emotions. What part of you was born again? Your spirit man. Your body was not born again. Your mind and your emotions were not born again. That's why in Romans 12:1, you got to do something with your body, and in Romans 12:2, you got to do something with your mind. The King James says, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says, I keep my body under. I discipline my body. I bring my body into subjection. That by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said that. Well, do you mean that this great saint of God, the man who wrote half of the New Testament, you mean he had to keep his body under? Yes. His body must have wanted to do some things that were wrong, or he wouldn't have had to keep it under. If the Apostle Paul had to keep his body under, I guess maybe you and I have to keep our bodies under. But you see, it's so easy to make an out here and lay it off on the devil, when what you need to do is what the Bible says do, and that is crucify the flesh, mortify the flesh. Amen. They're just loving this. Mortify the flesh, glory to God. Now, in writing to the Romans, Paul said, this is Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. The New King James says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Oh my goodness, look at the language. Dear Lord, crucify, mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. Do you want to live? Anybody here tonight want to live? Yes. You have got to crucify. You have got to mortify. You have got to put to death the deeds of the body. Mortify the deeds of the body, and you shall live. But folks don't want to do that. They say things like, well, the devil tempted me, and I got off into adultery. My foot slipped. It's not your foot that does the deed. No, it was a man lusting after a woman that got that man into trouble. There's no adultery without lust going on ahead of time. The time to mortify, crucify, and put to death the deeds of the flesh is not in the saloon or the whorehouse. The time to mortify, crucify, and put to death the deeds of the flesh is before you even think about going to the saloon or the whorehouse. You know, I came this week thinking I was going to find out how to get my prayers answered, but you know, man, I ain't giving up weed. Forget that. And I ain't giving up Colt 45, man. You can forget that. You know, man, I like hooking up online. This is the culture we live in. And people wonder, where's God? Where's God? Well, he's waiting for us to act like he has instructed us to act in his word. Amen. Amen. No, the man or woman in adultery didn't keep the flesh under. See, your body wants to do... listen, tell your neighbor. He knows exactly what he's talking about. Amen. My wife will tell you. Well, you know, we were on spring break, and then we came across this place. They had the most fabulous... I mean, I'm telling you what. I mean, it was just amazing pepperoni pizza. And there was not one meal that I had more than four pieces. And you might think that's not much of an accomplishment, but you ask my family, I can knock down an extra large pepperoni pizza by my lonesome. I don't need any help at all. But you got to mortify. Yes. Shout mortify.
Mortify.
You got to crucify. Shout crucify.
Crucify.
You got to put to death. Shout put to death.
Put to death.
The flesh. Because I'm telling you, this sucker wants to run wild. See, you're saved. Anybody here tonight saved?
Yeah.
All right, but your body's not saved, man. Your body doesn't know one woman from another woman. In fact, now in 2024, you don't know what is a woman. But I'm saying, you know, your body, man, your body doesn't know any difference. You cannot be ruled by your body and get answers from God.
Amen.
So... You know, Pastor, if I'd known you were going down this road on a Tuesday night, I'd have waited till Wednesday. I'll tell you that right now. And they come up with these lines, even Christians in churches all over America. Well, that's the way the Lord made me. God made me a man, but trapped me in a woman's body. God made me a woman, but trapped me in a man's body. It's all the Lord's fault. I haven't done anything wrong. One sin is the same as the other. Well, you explain that to a judge, that murder is the same as shoplifting. We just read a list where Paul said, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And lying to your wife and telling her that her new haircut was great was not in the list. So there are different levels of sin. No, bless God, you need to get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you need to crucify the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to go back here and I'm going to deal with something because the Spirit of God is leading me to do so, and I'm only able to do this because I have been the founding pastor of this church for over 40 years. I am right now going to go where angels fear to tread. There's a double entendre. There's a double meaning in Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. He's talking spiritually, the second death, of course, but he's also talking about the first death. You keep abusing your flesh with your appetites, and you will cut years off your lifespan. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Die. And you know what I've discovered? Ain't nobody gonna do it for me. I gotta do it myself. Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, if it's gonna be,
it's
up to me. So the devil will, don't misunderstand me now, the devil will help you sin all day long. But you make the decision. I said the decision is yours, and if you play around with certain sins long enough, you'll go from being influenced by demons to being possessed by demons. Sin gives the devil lawful entrance into your life, into your mind, into your emotions, and into your body. And most of our sicknesses have come upon us by our opening doors. When you're dealing with the flesh, you don't resist the flesh. You know, flesh, I resist you in Jesus' name. That won't work. It will work with the devil because we have word on that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But it won't work with the flesh. No, you crucify. We've been told what to do with the flesh in the Bible. You crucify the flesh. You mortify the flesh. You put to death the flesh. You let your mind and your body know that they are not in charge of your life. See, you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. You are, and something's going to be in charge. When I was a young man, you know, there might have been people, and maybe their body was in control, or maybe their mind was in control. But we're past all that now. Now everybody out here, their emotions are in control.
Right.
And if you say something, you know, that offends them, like, you know, God bless you, miss. Then you get your backside hauled right down to human resources. They're not going by the mind. They're going by their emotions. And that's the world we live in now. But as a child of God, a born again child of God, my emotions are not to be in charge of my life. My mind is not to be in charge of my life. We got this challenge offering coming up. Every challenge offering, we say this, that you'll have two numbers. You go to God and ask God what to do in a challenge offering, you're going to have two numbers. And the one number is going to be by your spirit man, and the other number is going to be by your mind. How do I know which is which? The spirit man's number is going to be higher. Your mind will betray you. Your mind will sabotage you. Your mind cannot believe God. Only your spirit man can do that. So your spirit man has to just let the rest of you know. Mind, you're not in charge. Emotions, you're not in charge. Body, you're not in charge. The spirit man is running the show here. Are you mad at me or are you not getting it? Because you're awful quiet. Say it out loud. I got to
make sure
my spirit man's in charge. Not my mind, not my emotions, and not my flesh, not my body. Amen. And your flesh is not going to flee away. You have to deal with it. I said you got to deal with it. I think we wish we could resist the flesh away at least, you know, 10 or 20 pounds, but it doesn't work like that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep my body under. Who is I? I keep my body under. Who's he talking about? The mind? The emotions? Who's he talking about? I keep my body under. Who's he talking about? His spirit man. That's the man on the inside. That's the spirit man. That's the part of you that's born again. Something else is very interesting while we're here in Galatians 5. Prior to that 19th verse, Paul said in verse 16, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm in the New King James here, and I want you to notice in most translations, spirit is capitalized. Then he lists the works of the flesh or the lust of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, these various lusts of the flesh. And Paul says, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But hallelujah, verse 18, but if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. And again, the word spirit in most translations there is capitalized. But now here is something we need to see. The translators translating the Bible from the Greek into English had to decide how to translate the word for spirit, which is pneuma. So every time they came across that word in the Greek New Testament, they had to decide, is the writer talking about the human spirit or the Holy Spirit? Now, W.E. Vine, in his Expository Dictionary of the New Testament, points out that you have to tell the difference. Is this the spirit of a man or the Holy Spirit? And you can only tell that by looking at the context. So sometimes you will find the word Spirit capitalized because the translators assumed the author was talking about the Holy Spirit, when actually the context would say the author was talking about the human spirit. Look at verse 18 again. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Is Paul talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, or is Paul talking about living your entire life being led by your spirit? What's he talking about? Being led by your spirit. It's obvious from the context. He's talking about your spirit being in charge and not your mind. Your spirit being in charge and not your feelings. Your spirit being in charge and not your physical body. What's he talking about is being led by your spirit, walking by your spirit. And listen, I don't know what y'all think of me, but I'm challenged on this myself, because I remember a few years ago, I was standing here on the floor during a week of increase, and I was beside myself. And I remember having a conversation with one of the ushers in the back. I mean, and I couldn't even understand what was wrong with me or what was going on. Well, we didn't know at that point in time. But there was somebody on the front row that was a problem. See, in other words, my spirit was like a Mexican jumping bean on the inside of me. This happens. You know, I had a tree guy just nearly push his way into the house. 68 years of life experience said, run this guy off the property. But he was there. I was busy, and I thought, you know, it'd just be, and then he goes to criticizing preachers, and I thought, you know, I don't need that much work done. He's here. Let's just do this, and it's still an issue weeks later. We need to learn to trust this right down here on the inside of us, and if you got something down on the inside of you that's saying, leave. Let's say a place of business or something, well, just meander on out of there. Or don't ask her out again, or don't ask him out, don't go out with him again, or whatever. We got a warning system down here that God gave us, and that is the recreated human spirit. And if we'll let him, he'll keep us out of trouble. If I could go back in time to that week of increase, I would have paused. I would have said, Holy Spirit of God, you show me who the problem is, and I'll take care of this right now myself. In fact, that's what I'm going to do next time. That's why, you know, I brought the podium back down on the floor. I'm up here, and I love youngsters, amen. They don't ever give me hinky vibes. Amen. Am I helping anybody? How many times have you bought something or got involved in something or invested in something, and it wasn't but a few days later you were telling somebody else, man, something down on the inside of me told me not to do that? Right. Well, what was that? That wasn't your mind, and that wasn't your emotions. You know what that was? That was your human spirit. Amen. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about your spirit. He's talking about being led through life by your spirit. He's talking about walking through life by your spirit. Paul said, I, the spirit man, I keep my body under. Say it out loud. I keep my body under. See, nobody's going to do it for you. I mean, I've been born again 63 years, and I've never sat down at a meal, and the Holy Spirit, you know, or send an angel, or Jesus himself, or, you know, come along and say, put that fork down. No, I got to do it. I have to be led through life by my spirit man, because the flesh will get me in trouble. What is the flesh? We haven't dealt with this much at Faith Christian Center. It's not just the body. The flesh is whatever part of you is not born again. So it is your body, but it's more than your body. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions, the flesh. And it'll sabotage you. We're talking about seven steps to answered prayer. And the third step has to deal with affirming. Let every thought and every desire affirm that you have got what you have asked for. And what we're talking about tonight is how Satan will sabotage you in your thought life. And he does that through demons and people and these voices. But we do it to ourselves by yielding to the flesh. I'm not trying to teach on Mark 11, 22 to 24 this week, but man, look at verse 25. You know how he sabotages our prayer life? He'll send somebody across your path to rip you off, steal from you, take advantage of you, and then get you into unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the only hindrance to faith ever mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ across four Gospels. And how does Satan do this? He sends somebody across our path to rip us off, steal money from us, take advantage of us, lie to us or whatever. And see, the spirit man would say, well, I could be offended by that and I could be angry about that and I could take action on that, but I just choose not to because I've got bigger fish to fry here and I'm believing God for something and I'm not going to let anything get between me and receiving from the Lord what I desire. Yes. But see, if you're ruled by your flesh, if you're ruled by your emotions, then you take the attitude, man, I'm going to F him up. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about?
Amen.
I didn't say the word. See, Satan, it's like an encyclopedia of methods he uses to sabotage us and wreck us. And you might say, well, that's a lot to study and learn. No, no, no. I have to make sure that the spirit man is in charge. Because the spirit man will tell me, see, the spirit man will know, don't pick that up. Don't get offended at that. Don't take action on that. Don't lift a finger against that. See, if I'll just be led, if I am led by the Spirit, then I'm not subject to all of these issues. He says, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. They're contrary. They're contrary. The flesh is contrary to the spirit man, and the spirit man is contrary to the flesh, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Did you ever notice that's where you have your trouble? Your problem is not me. Your problem most of the time is not even your wife or your husband. It's your flesh. And your spirit wants to do right. The man on the inside of you wants to do right. You know that. But the man on the outside doesn't want to do right. And they are at war with each other. See, you get born again, you're a new spirit, a new spirit being on the inside. But you're just the same on the outside as you always were. The body didn't change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He is what? He is a new creation. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. But that's on the inside of a man. On the outside, old things haven't passed away. If you were bald-headed before you got saved, you're still bald-headed. And the flesh will want to go on doing exactly what it had been doing before you got saved. Hear me now. The flesh will want to go on doing exactly what it was doing before you got saved. But you have to keep the flesh under. You got to mortify the flesh. You got to crucify the flesh. You got to put to death the flesh. And while we're on the subject, sexual sins are not the hardest to keep under when it comes to your body. The Bible tells us plainly in James 3 that the member of your body that is the hardest to keep under control is your tongue. That is the toughest one, the human tongue. So keep your tongue under. Learn to keep your mouth shut. Learn to keep your mouth off other people. Learn to keep your mouth off God's people. Stop judging people. Stop talking about people. When thoughts come to your mind about people, you know what I do anymore? I just say, well, Lord, I'm not going to think about that. That's none of my business. Or I say this out loud, God bless them. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless them. Because that's what he taught us to do. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who despitefully use you. James 3:6, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. If you can keep your tongue under, you can keep all the members of your body under. So the battle, so to speak, is between the outward man and the inward man. Back to Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So what are you going to do? Oh my gosh, Pastor, what am I going to do? Do what the Bible says to do. I mean, if the Bible says do it, do it. If the Bible says do it, that means I can do it. God's not going to tell me to do something I cannot do. He would be unjust if he did that. So when he tells me to crucify the flesh, I can crucify the flesh. Amen. So you resist the devil, you rebuke the devil, you resist him, and you send him on his way. But you crucify the flesh, you mortify the flesh, you put to death the flesh, you keep the body under. You let the body know that the body's not in charge. And this makes it a world easier when Satan attacks your flesh. See, if you've let your body run you, and you have a pain in your body, yeah. It's harder to deal with spiritually because you've been letting your body run you. And now you got a pain in what's been running you. But if you've been keeping your flesh under, I know what I'm talking about. I'm 60 years old, and right now I'm walking 8 miles a day. And I'm telling you, you know, a few days back, man, pain hit me. I just said, oh, no, you don't. I don't have time for you. I sent you on your way. Now be off. If it was not a spiritual thing, how could that work? Amen. But it does work. Hallelujah. See, when you keep that body under, when you crucify that flesh, when you put to death the flesh, when you mortify the flesh, you're in charge of your body. And then when your body acts up, well, that's no big deal because you're in charge of your body all the time. You just tell your body, I don't have time for that. Satan, I don't have time for that. I got other stuff to do. I don't have time for this. Now stop it. Amen. And you curse that curse, and you send the curse on its way because Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for you. Amen. Do not let Satan run your body through curses. Amen. Well, see, right there is blinding revelation because my spirit man is in charge, not my flesh. My spirit man is in charge, not my body. So when my body has an ache or a pain, my body's not in charge. My spirit man says, we ain't having that here. They might have that down the road, but we're not having that here. We're not tolerating that here. Oh, no, we're not going for that. Nope, 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 we're not having that. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
So the flesh wants to dominate the inward man and wants you to go on doing those things you used to do, but you simply don't let it. You don't let your flesh dominate. Satan will help you sin all day long, but you make the decision. The devil didn't make you do it. The flesh got you. The flesh got the better of you. So are we going to just let the flesh run us? No. Paul gave us the answer in 1 Corinthians 9:27. I keep my body under. Paul said, I. Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? I keep my body under. Who's he talking about? The spirit man. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I could stand here from now until midnight, I would never do it, and list the names of preachers that had a very big ministry a nationwide ministry, a world-renowned ministry, and they ended up on the spiritual ash heap of history because they didn't keep their flesh under. I understand wanting to drink. You know, sometimes I get done talking to people and I think, I need a drink. But I don't get a drink. Amen. Or overeating or whatever. You just cannot let your body run you. Amen. Well, you don't want God to cast you away, do you? You don't want to end up on the spiritual junk heap, do you? Well, then keep your body under. People don't do what the Word says. Instead, they sin, then they say, I love the Lord. No, they don't love the Lord. Who loves the Lord? Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And Jesus said in John 14, 23 and 24, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And Jesus said in John 15, 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And Jesus said in Luke 6:46 following, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. Say it out loud. Puts them into practice. Puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice, say it aloud, does not put them into practice, is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, and the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. We see it all the time. We see it all the time. It looks like somebody's living a Christian life, and then kaboom, it's all brought down. Why? Because the difference is in putting the Word of God into practice and not putting the Word of God into practice. If we love the Lord, we love His Word. People say they love the Lord in 2024, but they just got done doing what the Word of God prohibits. I've watched it my whole life. You can't love Jesus and love God and hate the Word. And Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When he comes down to planet Earth in Revelation, he's got a name written on him. What's the name written on him? Word. The Word. And you can't walk with God and walk with Jesus without walking in the Word. Are you out there? Have you gone home? He's still talking, but I'm already on my way mentally in my mind. So James said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Everybody shout, flee.
Flee.
He will flee from you. Glory to God. He'll run from you as if in terror. So I learned a long time ago when doubt comes to resist it. I'll say, doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I refuse to doubt. Unbelief, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I refuse to not believe God. And then fear comes. So I learned to speak to fear. Fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I refuse to fear. Because, see, doubt and fear are of the devil. They're not of God, so I'm free to resist them. Remember what the Apostle Paul said writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So fear is a spirit. And it's not of God. That is one way I knew instinctually in March and April of 2020 that what they were doing was satanic. It was not of God. It was not normal. It was an end time agenda. It was satanic and it was of the devil because they were using fear against the American people. Fear is of the devil. Shout it out loud. Fear is of the devil. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. So fear is of the devil. So then fear must be a spirit. Because Paul said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us other spirits, the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of a sound mind. Get it? The spirit of fear. So fear must be a spirit. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. Well, if God didn't give it to me, I don't want it. Amen. I said, if God didn't give it to me, I don't want it.
Amen.
Amen. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And notice Paul didn't say a spirit. He said the spirit. Fear is a spirit. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So no fear, just power, love, and a sound mind. We have been given the spirit of power, and we have been given the spirit of love, and we have been given the spirit of a sound mind, but we have not been given the spirit of fear.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So run fear out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God has not given us a spirit of fear. So I learned to say fear, call it by name. Call it by name. Fear, I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And fear will run off and leave you as if in terror. So you don't have to wait until Satan comes along with a pitchfork, horns, and a tail before you start resisting. Learn to resist any thought or speech that is contrary to the written word of God. But when a voice or an impression or even a friend or a relative says something that is opposite to what God says, resist. That's the devil. So resist the devil. Say it out loud. I'll resist the devil. And he will flee from me. Now, there's different ways to do this. I sat on Sue's front porch, the house she grew up in. I'm sitting there with her dad. Well, you know, we're talking. That was before he was born again. And then a relative rolls up, and he sits down and joins us. And, you know, he starts into all this stuff that was making my spirit man on the inside of me crawl. And I got up. I didn't say a word to him. I'm not trying to instruct him. I'm not trying to change him. I'm not trying to do anything to him. I just got in the house, and I went in the house. I told Sue, I said, I'm out of here. She said, I completely understand. And so, you know, I called the office, and I said, you know, change my ticket. I'm headed out of here tomorrow. Just get me on the first jet out. Well, you say, well, you didn't resist it. You left. Look, at the end of the day, I got to take care of me.
Yes.
And I didn't need to hear all of that.
Amen.
I don't need to hear things contrary to the written word of God.
Amen.
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 Now, I didn't instruct him, teach him, chastise him, correct him. I didn't do all that. But there's nothing in the Bible that I have ever found that tells me that I got to hang out with doubters.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean I'm trying to do something to them. I'm not rebuking them. You know, I could have pulled a Jesus and said, get thee behind me, Satan. But then that caused family trouble. I don't want any trouble. Amen. All I know is, man, I just come back to Faith Christian Center, and I'm in the bubble. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody talking doubt to me. Ain't nobody disagreeing with the Apostle Paul here. Amen, 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 amen. It is a faith bubble, and we can just talk the word to each other all we want to talk. Hallelujah. And we can tell one another that we're believing God for this and we're believing God for that, and we stand with one another and we pull together with one another, and we're happy for one another when one another gets their prayers answered.
Amen.
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 I think it was a later trip. You know, Sue lost her ring. We still don't know what happened to it. It's no big deal to me. It was her backup. But she lost it. And so, you know, I had to get her another backup, you know, for travel. You know, less like bling. to us. But, you know, another trip we're up there, and she's wearing that replacement ring, and man, you know, relatives like. You just think, man, dear God, I got to get back to the dome. I got to get back to Faith Christian Center. Yeah, I got to get back to the faith bubble, amen?
Amen.
Where people don't judge you for, you know, wearing, you know, lunch money. Dear God. The point of the message tonight is Satan has got a plethora of ways to come at you and pull you off course. And he does it through fear. He does it through relatives. He does it through friends. He does it through coworkers. And then it's all couched in a lot of times with coworkers, friends, relatives, like, well, you don't really believe that, do you? Well, who does that sound like? You know what that sounds like? That sounds like Satan in the Garden of Eden. Well, sure I do. I believe the Word of God. Amen. I believe it. Amen. Amen. I believe it. And notice James didn't say, now try to resist the devil. Do the best you can under the circumstances, and maybe he might flee from you. He didn't say that. He said, do it. Now, I don't know about you, but there are two things that I settled on as a young man, and I'm about to quit. I'm fixing to get ready to maybe conclude. Number one, I settled on the integrity of God's Word. God's Word is true. Shout it out loud. God's Word is true.
God's Word is true.
So God's Word is speaking to me. So when we read the promises or commands of God's Word, we can write in the margin, and I do this all the time. Austin was talking about in the noon hour, people, you know, sometimes chafe about the confession booklet being scriptures personalized. You can write in your Bible next to any of these promises, he's talking to me. This means me. He's talking to me. Jesus said to me. I do it all the time. It works. I tell you what, it'll get your mouth right. Say it out loud. Jesus said to me. Since I have faith as a seed, I can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible for me. See, I do it all the time. Amen. And it's got great power to take the Word of God and make it mine. You know why I can make it mine? Because it is mine. And even if I don't understand it, even if I can't figure out how to make it work, it's still the Word of God and it's still true. Number two, I settled on this. If God's Word tells me to do something, that means I can do it. Say it out loud. If God's Word tells me to do something, that means I can do it. See, because if God tells me to do something and I can't do it, then I have a right to challenge His justice. Because God would be unjust to tell me to do something that I could not do. So God's Word is God speaking to me, and God's Word is God speaking to you. Say it out loud. God's Word is God speaking to me.
God's Word is God speaking.
Point to the neighbor on the one side and tell him, and God's Word is God speaking to you.
God's Word is God speaking.
Say it out loud. God's Word is God speaking to me.
God's Word is God
speaking.
Point
to the neighbor on the other side and say, and God's Word is God speaking to you.
God's Word is God speaking.
So take your faith and make the Word yours, because it is your spiritual birthright.
Amen. Amen.